Welcome back to Gals on the Pit Wall, Season 2, Episode 2, Bahrain Grand Prix Edition. It was a... is boring the word? Quiet Grand Prix? Yes. I mean, so it was the first ever Bahrain Grand Prix, I think, where... No, first ever opening race of an F1 season where no one DNF'd. Which is insane, like ever in history, like not the hybrid era, in F1 history. So, good job. Good job to the boys. So it's actually 1 year on since my first ever F1 race. Ever. Since so 1 year of being an F1 fan, basically. And also, as of the podcast last week, I don't know what happened, but there is like over 400 people who have seen that episode, which is insane. That's like the most viewed slash listened to episode by like literally hundreds. For those of you who are new to the podcast, to Gals on the Pit Wall, I am Catherine. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I became an F1 fan 1 year ago. My favourite drivers are Charles Leclerc and Oscar Piastri. I am, of course, a Ferrari fan. What else is important? I'm a freelance journalist, as well as a uni student, very busy. I also have this podcast, and I make some very silly TikToks over on TikTok at Kenneth Bruce. And also on the Gals in the Pit Wall TikTok, which I'm trying to be more active on. Trying my best. Yeah, so I make this podcast. It's here on YouTube. It's also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, varying other things. You can find it, you can subscribe, you can listen, you can rate it, all the good things. Yeah, so it was a pretty boring first race back. Although everyone finished it, there was no disasters. So, you know, got to take the positives from this. So I'm going to run through the whole weekend. I just wanted to start... I'll put my phone down for this. I just wanted to start... if it would feel weird to not talk about the Christian Horner thing. But I anticipate that by the time this episode goes out on Wednesday, that there's probably even more developments because this is clearly a daily thing. So I just wanted to say something quick on it. And that I have seen the messages that got leaked, or some of them. I've also seen some of the pictures, and yeah, without saying too much about it, I think my thoughts are, I mean, he is the boss. Like, no matter what way you spin it, what he's done is wrong. Like, really wrong. It's really about, like, yeah, the power, the situation of power, the position of power he's in, and the imbalance of that. Like, even if the whole thing is consensual, he still has power over her because that is her boss. It's just a horrible situation. I don't know. I can't find the words to speak about it in the right way. And it's ever developing. And I don't really want to speak about it too much because I don't want to make a big drama out of it. Or like, this is meant to be a kind of fun, giggly podcast. Like, I don't really want to... Like, it's not a thing to laugh about. But I wanted to acknowledge that I am aware that that's happened. And yeah, I obviously don't condone any of that. Felt it's important, and it doesn't do a lot for getting women into the sport, in all areas of the sport, when things like that are happening. It's not too encouraging, you know? But with that, onto a slightly more positive note, which is qualifying. Normally I would talk about free practice, but because it was on like a Thursday, I have like uni classes, so... And also not really much happened in practice, to be honest. Nothing I felt that was of too much note. But it was a lot closer than I thought it would be. Like, I know in testing things look close, but obviously you can't take much from testing times. But it was, yeah, it was really close, actually. Oh, and also, pre-quali note, the race director added in a new rule about the maximum time in the pit lane. And also not being able to stop, basically, in the pit lane after, you know, instances of certain drivers and certain cars holding things up, i.e. George Russell in Mexico and Max Verstappen in Singapore. So that was interesting. Q1. Oh yeah, so going off the back of that new rule, Max was stuck in the back of the queue for Q1, shaking his wee head. He's been thwarted by the race director. Really not too much of note, other than like Nico Hülkenberg and Alex Albon being the first to get into the 130s in their lap time. Especially Nico Hülkenberg in qualifying. Insanely impressive. Like, he's always good in qualifying, but particularly... I mean, we'll get onto it, but like, it was unreal from him. I had a lot of hope for him. And he was on top of the times for a while. The RBs also looked good. And yeah, it's no surprise that both Alpines went out. Both Sabres and wee Logan Sargeant, man. I'm still going to go into every race supporting him, I think. Like, I want the best for him. And I'm going to hold out hope and see how long that hope lasts. But like, I really want him to do well. Bless him. And also Lewis and Oscar were both quite disappointing in Q1, like not really doing anything too good, which was a bit shit. And Pierre Gasly got a track limits violation, but I don't know if that cost him and that eliminated him. I mean, the Alpine wasn't quick anyway. Q2, so Lando's the first break into the 129s. I'm getting excited. I'm thinking, wow, we could be onto a Lando pole here. But we weren't, unfortunately. Because then Max Verstappen goes 6/10 clear of him. But to be fair, both of the Red Bulls at this point had gone on to new soft tires, and Lando did his time on old soft. So, you know, pretty close. Yeah, general complaints about a lack of grip on the track. Nothing too exciting. This is when Hülkenberg went quicker than Perez and went up into P2 with the quickest final sector on the track. Like, what? So, like, I don't think we can count Haas out. Like, I'm not saying they're going to be winning or on pole, but I don't think we can count them out as being the worst car on the grid yet. It might be Alpine. Charles went fastest with a 129.1. So I was getting excited. I also would like to mention, I was watching qualifying in the back of a class that I was in. No one tell my uni this. I was in the back of a class watching it, and my headphones disconnected and started blasting it to the back of the class. And it was like the workday advert as well. It was horrendous. This is workday. This is also McLaren's first time getting both cars to Q3 in 3 years. And also I think the same for Mercedes. So all in all, it was looking good. It was shaping up to be a good weekend. Oh yeah, and we lost Yuki, Lance, Alex, Danny Rick, and K-Mag. Which is a shame, because actually Lance was looking pretty decent in Q1. I think he was second quickest. So that was disappointing. And I also found out that, so prior to qualifying, Lando took a power unit change in his car, but Zak Brown didn't know if that would come out of the allocation or not. Still haven't seen much about that, but that's interesting. Q3. George almost lost the car at turn 6. Like, it was not good. I know the wind was bad, and there was a fair few wobbles during qualifying, and also the same in the race. That's the only, you know, exciting things from the track, from qualifying. Obviously, Max took pole. But Max's lap time was slower than Charles's time in Q2. And I think Charles would have been on pole, but in his final flying lap, he messed up his sector 3. Seems to be a running theme with Charles. The same with Lando as well, actually, that they just kind of bottle at the end sometimes. But I actually felt kind of relieved about Charles not being on pole, considering every time he's on pole, it's a Max win. So I actually can't say I felt too sad about it. I probably felt better about that than if Charles had been on pole. I mean, I think a Max win feels better when Max has been on pole, because you haven't had your hopes up at any point. You're like, yeah, cool. Whatever. So, race notes. I think the race notes are slightly more exciting than qualifying, despite the fact that the race itself was pretty, like, it was fine. I love watching an F1 race, no matter the results, but I can't say it was the most exciting thing, especially compared to last year, which was my first F1 race that I watched. I'd say last year was pretty dramatic. Right. Race notes. Lap 1. Nico Hülkenberg goes into the back of Lance Stroll. Lance's weekend has already been a bit meh. Lance has horrible luck. Nico Hülkenberg goes into the back of Lance, spins Lance around, spins him and down the bottom. And Nico obviously got damage and had to go for a front wing change. So that kind of looked like it ruined both of their races. But actually, Lance finished in the points at the end. So, like, he was P10, I believe. So I think Lance gets too much shit. I mean, I'm not the only one in this camp, but genuinely, I think the debate about, obviously, his dad owning the team and, like, he's bought his way into F1. I've probably said this on the podcast before, but listen, if my dad was a billionaire and believed in me that much, he was willing to buy an F1 team, I'd be fucking buzzing. So, can't judge. It's not like Lance is shit, because he's not. And if we're remembering, you know, Bahrain last year with his wee broken wrist and how well he did. I think it was an amazing recovery from Lance, and I do think he should have got driver of the day, but it is a bit of a popularity contest, so bless him. It wasn't going to happen. Charles, in typical Charles fashion, had issues the entire time. He complained that his car was too dangerous to drive. Yeah, he kept locking up. I think it was turn 10, which actually a lot of people were locking up there. But he kept locking up. He said every time he was trying to overtake or do anything, the car would lock up. Yeah, brake imbalance, I believe, is what the issue was. And then on top of that, not only was Charles having issues, then Lewis Hamilton, his seat was just broken the whole time. But he did say, Lewis's post-race interview, bless him, I've never actually, like, in the time of watching F1, which is obviously only a year, it's the happiest I've actually seen him this entire time. Like, even when he was on pole, he didn't seem this happy. And he was asked if there was, you know, any, like, good takeaways that he could take from this race into Saudi Arabia. And he just said that the car was reliable. Like, the bar is so low for Lewis at Mercedes now. He is just excited to leave. That's all he's ever wanted, clearly, is to get out of there, at least in recent times. So, yeah, pretty excited for him. And then, yeah, Williams, who obviously are known for, like, their weird-ass steering wheel choices, had issues. So Logan, he was the closest car to DNFing, I think. He was the only one to really go off track, and there was a brief yellow flag. And when it cut and it was Logan, honestly, my heart sank. And I also just immediately was like, right, cool, yellow flags, that's it. But he actually got the car back running, because he did just kind of go off the side. He didn't crash, and he got the car back on track. But he basically, and I can't confirm this, but I think what happened from what I'd heard is that his steering wheel, this new steering wheel, had just changed settings on its own. I don't know if that was linked to him locking up at this point and going off the track, but he'd had issues with that. And then Alex had issues with it too. And also, like, in big bar, like a big bar on the steering wheel screen, it just said car too hot. So that was fun. Williams clearly doing really well. Honestly, there's really, this is going to be like the world's shortest episode of Gals in the Pit Wall, because it was very tame racing. Obviously good, safe racing. Everyone, you know, survived. Always good. No, it's very tame. So this could be a very quick podcast episode. Yeah, I think probably the biggest drama of it would be Yuki and Daniel. If you didn't see it, Yuki and Daniel, towards the end of the race, Yuki had been fast for the whole race. He was ahead, happy days. And then in the closing laps, Yuki was on a hard tire and Daniel was on a soft. And Yuki was ahead and Daniel was just behind him. And just in front of Yuki was Lance in P10. I think he was in P10. Yeah, this was a fight for points, I believe. And basically, because Daniel was on the soft tire, which is the quicker tire, RB were like, right, can you two swap around? Even though Yuki was, like, well within, like, he could have got Lance. Like, it wasn't impossible, right? But fair enough. Daniel's on the quicker tire. Daniel's on the quicker tire. Let him through. Let him have a shot at it. So they swap. Yuki's unhappy about it, but he does the swap. I honestly didn't think he would do it. Because I was like, really? He's driven fast this whole time and you're going to rob him of this chance. But anywho, team orders. Daniel goes ahead. Daniel then fails to make the overtake. So I think at that point, you've let Daniel have a go, swap them back, okay? And Yuki was obviously very upset about what happened. And I think they finished 13th and 14th. So Daniel in 13th, Yuki in 14th. And in the cool down lap, Yuki dived down the inside of Daniel and then locked up. So almost caused them to crash. Obviously not great. And we know Yuki is a hot-headed wee guy. But do you know, he's still probably calmer than I would be. And after the race, Daniel's obviously said it was immaturity. And he goes, yeah, there's not really any difference between 13th and 14th. Like, most people wouldn't care. And this is where I know that Daniel is, you know, adored by many. But I have many, many a beef with him, okay? And this time it was like, okay, you might not think there's much of a difference because in your head you're like, cool, I've secured my seat. I've got nothing to prove. Like, I know I'm quick enough to go into the Red Bull or to be here. Like, there's not much danger of me going. That's his mentality. Whereas Yuki has been in this RB AlphaTauri his whole career with the whole point of like him being there to then be the next person in the Red Bull. That's kind of the point of being in this junior team. So his contract's up this year, obviously. Yuki has to prove that he either keeps a seat at RB, which obviously is like fine, he doesn't lose a seat, but really that he could drive the Red Bull. He's trying to prove that he is good enough. So the difference for him between 13th and 14th is massive, especially when, say, Red Bull or other teams or just fans in general look at this, like the stats of the race. They're not going to see that Yuki was ahead the whole race or was faster. All they're going to see is that Yuki finished behind Daniel. But Yuki was the better driver in that race. And obviously in the few that Daniel's in last season, Yuki outperformed him. So I'd say that in this situation, Yuki has more to lose. So I understand his frustrations. And do I agree with him acting up like that and almost causing the crash? No. But do I understand his point of view? Yes. Like, I think Daniel's maybe not. Like, I know it's the sport, you have to be out for yourself. But I think Daniel's saying that it was immature in that 13th and 14th didn't matter is wrong, because it does matter at the end of the day, especially when everyone's contracts are about to be up. But that's my thoughts. I mean, I'm sure other people feel differently. I saw Jo at F1 Diary. She kind of had a similar opinion to me. So yeah, at least I know I'm not alone. But yeah, I think that's the, what was really at stake? Oh, the cracking pit stop by Stake F1 team, aka Sebo, aka Kick F1 team. Pervaltory goes in for his pit stop. It was almost a minute, I think. It was plus 50 seconds. They could not get the front left on. They got it off, but they couldn't get it on. I don't know what the actual issue was. Was it with the actual wheel, the actual tire, or was it the wheel gun? But they did it after a minute, bless him. But that kind of screwed his race up. I would like to confess that I definitely jinxed the pace of the Sebo by predicting it to do well in this podcast. And people have pointed out that I probably did jinx it. I think I've gone for a bit of a Matt Gallagher, as in Matt and Tommy, their podcast. I think I've done a bit of a him and jinxed the people I've predicted to do well. Although, my phone almost flew. Although, Zhou Guanyu had a pretty decent drive. Maybe he's still in contention for a race win, or have I jinxed him? I'd say he had a pretty decent drive. So there's still hope. There's still another 23 races to go, which is so long, by the way. Like, this doubleheader, I'm already tired. We're one race in, and I'm knackered, man. How am I going to cope when more stuff happens? Also, so McLaren definitely have the strongest driver pairing. Like, I think that is quite evident, and great race for them, considering their track record the last couple of years. I'd say a P8 and a P9 is pretty solid. However, like, Oscar could have been ahead, but he had a bit of a botched pit stop and then came out as Hamilton was coming around. And Hamilton was obviously on, you know, warmed up tires. And Oscar did fight very well, actually. Like, really good. Didn't hit Hamilton, luckily, but did have a wobble and Hamilton overtook him. But had that been a lap later when the tires were warmed up, I think Oscar would have had Hamilton there. Yeah, there's really, like, everything that happened. Oh, besides the... So obviously in qualifying, the pace looked pretty close. And I'd say, yeah, the qualifying pace, all the cars look pretty similar. Mercedes obviously sacrificed qualifying pace for some race pace. And, I mean, George Russell did well. I don't know what was up with Lewis. Lewis clearly giving no fucks. But yeah, I was, like, so confident that the race would be a lot closer than it was. I'm, like, I'm still trying to be optimistic about the season ahead. But last year in Bahrain, Max won by 11 seconds. And we all went, fucking hell, like, that is a fair margin, right? And then we know how the rest of the season went. This year, Max won by 22 seconds. 22. So if, you know, they had a rocket ship last year, I can only imagine how it's going to go this year. Still going to remain positive. Maybe, like, in 3-4 races time, I'll be much less positive about it. But I'll still be optimistic. But I do believe, and like this, I might say this and everyone might be like, oh, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. But maybe someone can answer this for me. Surely Checo was holding everyone back though, because Checo, I mean, Checo gets a lot of heat for being shit. He's obviously not shit, right? He's clearly very good. He is obviously an equal machine here to Max and was in P2. So he was the car that was 22 seconds behind. But surely he is just driving slower, right? To hold everyone else back. To stop him catching up with Max. Like, what I need to see now is the difference in a race where Checo isn't in P2 and isn't between Max and the rest of the grid. Because maybe it'll have a slightly different outcome. I don't know. Okay, but that's what I'm going to tell myself it is so I can sleep at night. Because there's a good chance Checo will botch a qualifying and be way further down. Although he was further down this week and he still flew up. That's why I don't believe he's 22 seconds slower than Max in equal machinery, because look how quickly he got ahead of everyone. So definitely sacrificing some pace to hold everyone back. Do I have much else to say, really? I mean, I usually like to give my driver of the day on the podcast. So driver of the day was Carlos. I did vote Carlos, to be fair. I was really impressed from him. Lovely P3. Actually, oh my God, the Charles and Carlos battle that literally made me want to throw up. They, like, when you watch the replay, they're so close to each other. Obviously, Charles was behind, nope. Carlos was behind Charles and then did two beautiful overtakes on him. Absolutely stunning. And I know I'm a Charles fan, but I do love Carlos. And if you don't know, I have a Carlos tattoo that I got when he won Singapore. Yeah, I was really chuffed for him. I really want him to do really well this season. I want him to land a good seat, but also just, you know, for his own well-being, just to do really well. Yeah, they had some close battles and it was very stressful. But I do think that that is going to be the theme of the season. I mean, we saw the Monza battle last year and that's when they were, you know, happy teammates. I think that there's going to be a lot of close ones this time because Carlos isn't going to hold anything back. He's got nothing to lose at Ferrari now. He's already lost his seat. I was going to say something else about that, but I can't think now. Maybe it'll come back to me. Yeah, driver of the day. Driver of the day was Carlos. But I'd say Charles was also maybe in the mix, considering, like, in hindsight of knowing what was wrong with his car and the fact he was literally saying it was too dangerous to drive it and he still finished the race. But it was kind of convenient that he was also saying that when Carlos had overtaken him, so... Oh, this was the thought. I still think it's outrageous that, like, I know Ferrari invested a lot into Charles. Charles is my favourite driver. Let me remind you of this. And Ferrari put everything into him, and Charles is going to, like, you know, hopefully work out to be this great championship-winning driver. He just needs to sort of perfect, hone in his craft. And that's obviously why Lewis is going there to help him do that. But Carlos was the first non-Red Bull driver to win a race, and I think I saw a stat somewhere in 495 days... Carlos was the first non-Red Bull to win a race. I think that's correct. If I'm wrong, please correct me. And yeah, obviously, Ferrari have gone, nope, bye. And I get that he was, you know, likely going to leave to go to Audi, but I still think it's crazy. Because I think if they had prioritised him, I don't think he would have left. But he didn't want to be second driver anymore, so fair enough. It is mental, though. So, God, for the love of Christ, can Charles get the championship with Ferrari at some point? Because Carlos, I think Carlos is going to outperform Charles again this season. Yeah, I just think it's going to happen. I mean, Carlos was really not that far off of Perez in that race. And I do think that Carlos, if he continues in that same vein, he is the top contender for the Red Bull seat. Sorry, Daniel Ricciardo, but I think it's Carlos. I'm standing by that prediction, by the way. Because I just think it makes the most sense. Okay. So Carlos, driver of the day. Charles also up there, you know, with his issues. But Lance Stroll really should have been driver of the day, personally. That drive from being spun and being last to being P10, relatively unnoticed, like no one talked about it. And then I just sort of saw at the end of the race that he was up there. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Wee Lancey Strolly, as he called himself. Maybe I should be putting him in my dream team, my fantasy team. If you've not joined the fantasy league, by the way, there is a link on our Instagram highlights. It's there. Please join it. I think there's a code and there might be a link. If not, I'll repost the link. I'm currently sat second in the league. I will win this year. I'm so determined that I'm going to win this year. But maybe I should put Lancey Strolly in it. Maybe he's convinced me that he should be in there. Do I have any other thoughts from the race? Not really. I'm not good at taking notes as well. I was sat watching with friends because, you know, first race of the season, got to make it social. I'm not great at taking notes on other people there. I get a bit embarrassed. And also, I just get into it. So this is slightly different the way I've done it. We used to kind of run through everything from the weekend, but I've kind of gone for the highlights, but that's because really not much happened. So let me know if you preferred this way of doing it over the running through everything. Maybe this is a little bit more sustainable for me and my own too. But hopefully, I'll have a guest on in the near future. I've got a couple of people I'd obviously like to have on. I'm going to work on that. Trying to get used to doing this on my own. I'm hoping I didn't just stare off into the distance the whole time or shout into the mic and maybe I've made sense, although the audio has clearly peaked at some point because it's very red and angry. Maybe not as good as last week with Alison. Maybe we'll have her back. But yeah, thank you for listening. Rate, like, I'm trying to think of the different platforms. If you're, you know, listening to us, give us a wee 5-star rating if you think, you know. I say we. It's the royal we. It's me. but I don't want to be like, give me a 5-star rating. 5 stars. Follow the podcast. Is that what you do on these platforms? Subscribe to the YouTube. I'm going to try and figure out some solution to the echoey sound as well. If you have any recommendations, let me know. Because everywhere in this flat is echoey. This is surprisingly the least echoey place. Give us a like, a comment, a share. Follow the Instagram, the TikTok, all the good stuff. And yeah, I'll see you after Saudi Arabia. No? Yes, Saudi Arabia. I always get that mixed up with Abu Dhabi in my head. Saudi Arabia. Maybe it'll be more exciting. Any previous predictions for that?
Ooh, I'll be bold and say another Max Verstappen win. Maybe a Checo win, but probably a Max win. If I'm being, you know, being true. You know, just a wild prediction there. Yeah. See you next week.